You're listening to Focus on the Bible. In our last episode, we discussed the rapture and the eclipse of 2024. There are things that we know about the rapture and things we don't know about the rapture. Often people discuss and make claims and predictions about the things that we don't know about the rapture, like when it will happen. And that causes a lot of confusion surrounding the things that we do know about the rapture, like the fact that it will happen based on what the Bible says. So in the last episode, we talked about why it's biblical, why people think it's coming every time an eclipse happens, and in this episode, we'll talk about why we are certain it will take place and what you can do to prepare for it right now.
The words of the rapture are comforting words. They give us confidence and assurance. They give us hope that our future belongs to the presence of God and our loved ones forever. Amen. So the first certainty here is that the rapture is going to happen. The problem with certainty number one is that there are so many people who try to predict the timing of the rapture using scriptures that are not about the timing of the rapture at all. I want to give you an example, and that's Matthew chapter 24. And if you can, I'd like for you to actually turn there. These verses will be very familiar. They're often quoted, or should I say misquoted, because the context is completely misunderstood. But now let's allow God's word to show us this. Here's an example of wonderful scriptures that are all true, and yet they're often taken out of context and misapplied to try to explain the timing of the rapture, even though these wonderful verses are not at all about the timing of the rapture, or even about the event of the rapture. Matthew and chapter 24 now, and verse number 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Have you heard that before? Almost always, almost every time in my whole life when I've heard that quoted from the Bible, someone is making the point that because a war is in the news, that the rapture is about to happen. That is simply not the case at all. The question that precedes Matthew 24 and verse 6 is the disciples had asked Jesus, Lord, how will we know when the end is? They're not asking about the rapture. They're asking about the end of the world as they know it. They're simply asking about the Battle of Armageddon. When do we know when it's going to happen? Because the Old Testament prophecies were full of news about the Battle of Armageddon, when the army from the north storms over the mountains to the north of Jerusalem. So they're asking one thing, and it's not about the rapture. But now people hear this word, wars and rumors of wars, and they automatically jump to a default position that this is about the rapture. Let me ask you a question, friend. Has there ever been a time in your life when there hasn't been a war going on or a rumor of a war that might happen? This chapter of the Bible is just full of such things like wars and rumors of wars. He says in verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation. Has that ever been not true? When nations weren't at one another's throats. You know why this is, friend? It's not that God's given us a sign that he's about to do the rapture. It's simple truth of human nature. Fallen man doesn't get along very well. And the nations of the world are being run by kings whose hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And they tear at one another. Expect nation to be against nation. Now, in the tribulation time, more on this in a moment, there will be an increase in the number of nations that are against one another, in the number of wars that will suddenly be launched. That's in the tribulation. And that is precisely what Matthew chapter 24 is about. This is not about Jesus' answer about when he's going to snatch away the church. It's Jesus' answer to his disciples about when the end of the world, as the world has been known, is going to happen. Before this 7 years of trouble with wars and nation against nation, and such things as famine, let's skip to verse 7 in the middle, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. See, these things will increase during that 7 years of trouble or tribulation. But that doesn't mean, friend, that every time there's an earthquake that someone needs to rush to a camera or a microphone and announce that the rapture of the church is about to happen. Or that every time a swarm of locusts flies over Africa or some other place that God's about to take out the church. This is really a lot of nonsense. I want to be respectful when I say this, but there's so much nonsense and so many nonsensical predictions about the timing of an event that is going to happen. The rapture is a certainty, and the rapture is an awesome thing. But please don't get carried away with all the hype and all the misapplications of Scripture. It's so unfortunate. There are going to be earthquakes. There are going to be wars. There are going to be famines and pestilences. He says in verse number 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. You see, those beginnings of sorrows are going to have to complete themselves. They haven't yet. And after those beginnings of sorrows have completed themselves in the tribulation period after the rapture, then God will begin to close this chapter of the world with the battle of Armageddon and the coming kingdom of God in the world. But these things shouldn't be confused. Skip to Matthew 24 now in verse number 15. Jesus went on to further explain to the disciples, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Who's in Judea? The Jews. The Matthew 24 is written to the Jews. It was the question of the disciples about when the world would end as they knew it. And Jesus gives a Jewish answer to the question. When all these beginnings of sorrows all come to a head in this event called the abomination of desolation, Matthew 24, verse 15. This is Old Testament scripture. I would venture that most people who hear this broadcast have never heard of the abomination of desolation or don't know where it's found in Daniel or what it is. But let's just say very simply and quickly, the abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist enters into the temple in Jerusalem, declaring himself to be worshiped as God. So the abomination of desolation can't happen today. We don't have the Antichrist revealed in the world. And we don't even have a temple in operation in Jerusalem. You see, verse 15 of Matthew chapter 24 is the dead giveaway that this is not a passage about the rapture. It's not about church. It's not about the removal of the church. It's about full-blown tribulation in the world when that Antichrist is having his way. And he goes into the temple. He makes himself out to be God and demands to be worshipped. And after that point, the Jews who know their scriptures know it's time to run. It's time to head for the rocks to hide from that Antichrist who would wipe them out if he could. That's what Matthew chapter 24 is about. God is not giving us signs about the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is nowhere in view. and Matthew 24, though so many have missed the mark of accurately dividing the scriptures. This doesn't mean the rapture is not going to happen. There is a day. It is appointed, and praise God, it's going to happen no matter how many people are confused about it, no matter how many false prophets falsely represent, and no matter how much ignorance there is, even in the blessed church of Jesus Christ, the rapture is going to happen to the glory of God. Now, here's another certain thing. God uses the heavens. And I hope God greatly uses the eclipse today to call all attention to himself. Here's the certainty of the scripture. Psalm 19 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." God uses the created bodies of the heavens to glorify himself. They reveal the creation and the power of God Almighty. So friend, today when you look toward that eclipse, remember the power of God set that sun in the sky. And on that beautiful creation day, God said, "Let there be light," and the sun was set on fire. If God wants to block out the light of the sun with another heavenly body, he can do that. But friend, when the Bible speaks of the sun being dark in the sky, I don't think he's exactly talking about a simple eclipse. We've had them all our lives. God has the power to put the fires out of that burning ball of hydrogen, they say, in the sky we call the sun, the center of the universe, that all our lives, every day of our existence, has called our attention to the awesome creative power of God. Now here's a certainty. Maybe the question comes, who goes up in the rapture? Who's going to be among those who depart? Believers in Jesus, friend. This is the certainty of scriptures. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the primary passage about the rapture, it's clear to see there are two groups, those who have died and those who remain alive. But they both were believers in Jesus. This is the promise of Scripture, that you can rest the certainty of your life, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, verse 17 says, "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Friend, the rapture is not going to be your problem. The rapture is your exit door out of a crummy, fallen world into the very presence of Jesus and all other believers. But in order to be on board at the snatching away, you have to be a believer in Jesus. And friend, if you've never done that, doesn't everything in your soul right now cry out to the reality that you know? And you've heard it so many times in your life that Jesus died on a cross, and that the reason he died was to pay our sin, and that he rose again from the dead. Our sin has been paid. The barrier between us and God has been removed. The only possible barrier between you and eternity with God would be your own unbelief, friend. So let's empty ourselves of unbelief, that deadly sin of unbelief. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Acts 16:31. And by simple faith in the only saving one, Jesus Christ. Friend, you'll join that happy band of believers.
Thanks again for joining us for another episode of Focus on the Bible. I'd like to share a reminder about our youth camps happening at Grace Farm this summer in Dewey Rose, Georgia. If you know any kids ages 12 to 18 who would benefit from Bible teaching and lifelong memory making, please check out our website, gracefarmonline.com, to learn more and register them for the appropriate camp session. That's all we have for today. But if you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to freddiecoyle.org. That's FREDDIECOILE.org.